Welcome into the Wednesday edition of Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Paul Kuharski, Nick Keyser here with you on this Wednesday morning. Hope everybody is doing well. We got a lot to get into on the program here today. PK with us for another day here on the show. PK, good morning. How are you?
Morning. I am well. I am excited to be here. And it's pretty special that we finally got a great finals game between the NBA and the NHL there last night. I mean, there were one or two good ones, but last night was high intensity, high drama. And as somebody whose team suffered through losing a 3-0 lead, which I believe has only happened 5 times in major professional sports, as a non-rooter in this series, I certainly would. The longer that list could get, the more diluted my team's becomes, because my team's is always going to be at the top of that list.
Yeah. Was that the most painful moment of your Yankees fandom?
I mean, it's the most painful moment of any Yankees fandom, unquestionable. And the thing about that series is, I mean, at 3-1, you kind of felt like when the Red Sox won game 4, it almost felt somehow inevitable. I don't want to talk about it, but go Edmonton. And it was just a high energy, really intense game last night. What are you thinking about their chances to win 4 in a row? Because the thing is, when you get to 3-2 and you go home, Panthers lead be damned. If Edmonton's even or winning in the middle of the second period, it does not feel like the Panthers are ahead in the series anymore.
Well, momentum has totally flipped in this thing. And Edmonton wins 5-3 last night, but it was really a 4-3 game. They got the empty netter at the end. And
after an unbelievable non-empty, too. I mean, they hit a post.
They hit a post, and then Matthew Tkachuk made a – had they come back to tie and then ultimately win, I mean, that would have been – I mean, that was the greatest empty net goal save I think I've ever seen. But McDavid is totally taken over. I mean, he's the best player in the world. I've argued that he's the best player at his sport in the world, and that includes Patrick Mahomes. Like, he's unbelievable. And you look at – greatest postseasons of all time. Gretzky had, 47 points in 84-85. Mario Lemieux had 44 in 90-91. It's a different league back then. It's harder now. Gretzky had 43 points again in 87-88. McDavid's at 42 now. So he's 1 point away from tying Gretzky for the third highest point total in a postseason of all time. Like, he's taken over the last couple of games here, and he's so hard to deal with when he takes over that I give him, I think they're going to go back and win game 6, and then you're going to have game 7 with just an absolute ton of pressure on Florida.
And everybody knows I'm not a big hockey guy, but a Stanley Cup game 7, third period tied of a Stanley Cup game 7 is as high drama, edge of your seat as it gets. So that's certainly what I root for. And last night, you know, there was a ton of talk about that third period. And I think we're due for some high drama. I mean, none of the basketball games were close, right? No. One of the hockey games was a one goal game. But for the volume of games at this stage of the season,
it's been disappointing.
For the two sports, we've not had a lot of close finishes. And, you know, that's what, if your team's not in it, I mean, if your team's in it, you generally really want some cushion.
Yeah.
You know, though it's more fun when it's over if you've won some close ones and have some real memorable moments. But what draws you in to Edmonton, Florida, when you couldn't be most of America couldn't be less interested in either team.
Right.
The only chance you have of getting overall interest in the series is some big time drama.
Yeah.
And there was some big time drama last night.
It's pretty, like, it reminds me, and this was, I guess, 20 years ago now, there was a cup final between Calgary and Tampa, which, to your point, like, most of America
doesn't care about,
right? Like, it's a terrible matchup. Nobody in America cares about Calgary. Very few people in America at that time cared about the Tampa Bay Lightning. But it was an unbelievable series. Went 7 games. Tampa ends up winning it. They were down 3-2 in the series, and they came back and won. And that was the year before the lockout. It was unbelievable. This one, I mean, there's such a high level. Like, McDavid, Draisaitl, Matthew Tkachuk last night for Florida, they're at such a high level right now that it's a lot of fun to watch. So I feel like we're due, like you said. I mean, the NBA final and the Stanley Cup final to this point have been terrible. I mean, even Edmonton's win in game 4, they won 8-1. So it's just like, okay, they got one big massive win, but it felt like Florida was going to go home and close it out. So it feels like we've got a series now, which is good to see after it was 3-0.
And if this is the beginning of a 3-game finish, that'd be pretty sweet.
Yeah.
And the other big news last night, Willie Mays
dies.
It's funny. I read a great passage, I can't remember from whose book, with Vin Scully saying that the catch was not the best catch he ever saw Willie Mays make, and describing a better catch, which was pretty remarkable.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Willie Mays, the thing that strikes me just is like, he's kind of last guy from the era, right?
Yeah.
Like, we're going to talk later about greatest living ball player, but we shift now into a much more modern time when you talk about the candidates.
Yeah.
There's nobody who, I don't think, was a 50s, 60s guy anymore.
Yeah.
Or maybe you're talking pitchers, if you are, and I think it's hard for a pitcher to be the contender for that. You need an everyday player.
No, it was – so last week, you know, Jerry West passed away in the NBA, a great Laker, the logo, and now Willie Mays passing away as well. And, you know, obviously I did not watch Willie Mays play baseball growing up, but you go back and you watch the highlights, you go back and really, like, the thing that stands out to me is how people talk about him and just the impact that he had on the game. I mean, 2-time MVP, a 24-time All-Star, which is wild to think about, 12-time Gold Glove winner. And, you know, Steve Levy kind of broke the news while the Cup Final game was going on last night. They were in the intermission, and Levy, you know, went on this a couple personal stories about, you know, he had met Willie Mays a couple of times, and he thinks Willie Mays is the single greatest baseball player of all time. And I saw some of that last night on Twitter as well, that how people think that he may be the best player in the history of the game.
Only won one championship, is that correct? I was struck by that when they put that up on the screen last night. I was watching the Yankee game, and I just thought, like, in the modern times, if he played, what, like 22 years, we would have crushed him for that.
Yeah.
Like, as great as he was, we would have said, but only won one World Series.
Yeah, 1954 is when they won the World Series. So, he lived a great life. 93 years old, passing away last night. But it is when you start to see some of these sports icons pass away from one generation to the next, it is tough to see.
Yeah, it's. I'm looking forward to talking about who. And you know, this whole greatest living ball player thing was really kind of, from what I read, invented by DiMaggio.
Really?
Yeah, but DiMaggio insisted on being introduced, which
greatest
is a really jerky thing to do, as the greatest living ball player, when it was in dispute that he was the greatest living ball player, because Mays was pretty damn good.
You will refer to me as the greatest living ball player.
Yeah, and that was a thing. Like, when he returned to Yankee Stadium, he insisted on that. And, you know, he had a racial advantage there. He had being married to Marilyn Monroe advantage there. He had, a much different lifestyle. And he was a Yankee, with the World Series titles and all of that. But I was reading some stuff last night about that title, and when after DiMaggio died, Williams had it for a long time. And so I was reading some stuff when Williams died about the debate about who it was, which is when Mays kind of took it over. And a lot of people were saying Mays should have had it all that time, during DiMaggio and Williams.
Yeah.
And if you think about it, I mean, his game was more well-rounded than both of those guys, I would think. And that's what makes it hard to pick one now, I think, because there are a lot of great players.
Yeah.
But I don't know about the five tools element.
That's the thing. Like, it's the five tools part of it.
It's very hard.
Hard to come by. It's hard to come by now. And, you know, we've already got people throwing in suggestions on the text line.
Text those names in, and we'll get to them.
And we're going
to
get to those throughout the show. We'll get to those later in the show for sure. And we'll take your thoughts. The greatest living ball player with the passing of Willie Mays last night. We got a lot to get into on the program today. We're going to get into that a little bit later in the show. We got the Choice Is Yours coming up at 6:30. We'll touch on a little baseball on that too. Tennessee will play today. They're taking on Florida State, so trying to beat Florida State again
and
punch their ticket.
Had a big ninth inning last night.
Tell you what, if you're a Tennessee fan, that's not who you wanted. You wanted North Carolina to win, and Florida State can mash the ball. So we'll see if Tennessee can punch their ticket to the College World Series final today.
I only saw this in the background, but North Carolina, after losing, looked as miserable as any team I've seen recently after losing.
Yeah.
I mean, they were just so disappointed.
Yep, absolutely. So we'll get into that a little bit later in the show. Obviously, a lot of Titans talk to get to today as well. All that coming up. Coming up next, we're going to get into a really interesting development recently in the NFL. Another edition of it coming this year. And could it be a competitive disadvantage for the teams involved? We'll get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Paul Kuharski, Nick Kieser here with you on this Wednesday morning, taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, which, as always, are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Hard Knocks expanding in the National Football League. We saw the Miami Dolphins last year, PK, do the in-season Hard Knocks with Mike McDaniel, who looks like a high school chemistry teacher, get up there and yelling in front of the big video board for the team meetings in Miami. It was kind of fun to watch. I like me some Mike McDaniel.
Me too.
This year going to be AFC North.
No, this year it's going to be the Bears.
Oh yeah, the Bears in the regular one, and then later in the season,
which is the fourth year of that. This plug-in for like the last 6 weeks.
Right.
And so we've seen the Colts and a couple other teams do it. But then they decided it's too much of a burden on one team, and they're always looking to broaden, you know. And I think the league's intention here is to provide content, you know, quality content.
Which I'm cool with.
Yeah. You know, it's hard to keep up with it, and a lot of storylines tend to be similar. Certainly in Hard Knocks, you know, there's going to be a storyline about an underdog guy who you tend to root for, who tends to get cut.
Yep.
Who then you like see, that guy got picked up and he's on so-and-so's practice squad, you know, if you're following. But this last 6 weeks, they decided that it'd be a good idea to follow a division.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know, you know, how much arm twisting there is for the regular Hard Knocks. You ultimately can be forced to do it.
Yep.
If nobody is willing to do it and you don't meet an exemption, the exemptions are you've done it in the last 10 years. You have a new head coach, or you've been in the playoffs the last 2 years. That being in the playoffs the last 2 years means your off season is technically shorter.
Yep.
If you don't meet those conditions, you can be forced to do it. Now, oftentimes teams step up. Dallas has done it 3 times. You know, Jerry loves that attention.
He does.
Cincinnati's done it twice, and I think they've probably stepped up because, you know, they're underseen, undervalued, and wanted some attention. But this four teams doing it for 6 weeks, the last 6 weeks of the season, I don't, it's been raised, is it a competitive disadvantage? I don't think it's a competitive disadvantage from people seeing your stuff. You have some degree of editorial control.
Yep.
The Jets last year, Joe Douglas didn't want cuts to be shown. Thought it was dehumanizing in some fashion, which I think is a little over the top because they've been showing cuts since 2001. And, you know, but, you know, so they didn't show cuts. I think it might be a competitive disadvantage from the energy expended. All right. When the cameras first get there, you are conscious of them, right?
Yep.
The coaching staff is, the players are. So you're expending energy, acting differently, and maybe avoiding them and changing your behavior. And maybe that sounds a little soft or weak or whatever, but you're in the home stretch of an NFL season and you've got your routines and all of that. And all of a sudden there's an invader in your building, and you've got to be conscious about that. Now you're worried about how you appear to a vast number of outsiders and how then that's reported on to a way bigger vast number of outsiders who may not watch the show but are going to hear about anything that happens. And then obviously what they want in a documentary situation like that is for you to eventually not be conscious of the cameras and let your guard down.
Yeah.
And then some little thing that happens that's not a big deal in your daily business life turns into a big deal in your business life. A coach saying something in a meeting that's standard fare, players having an argument that's standard fare, whatever. They're just and we know how the league hates distractions.
Oh, yeah.
Or whatever, right? And these things are not things at all for you and I at work on a regular day, right?
Right.
We're doing this show together, say, full time, and we might have a great bit where things get heated, but the mics go off and
we're fine,
and we go about our business. Yeah. Right? And one of us goes and gets a cup of coffee, and one of us goes to the bathroom, come back in, and go, that was a good spot, you know, good bit.
Yeah.
It turns into a thing, you know. Now, is that division somewhat more depleted because that stuff is going on and we're over here in the AFC South just going about our business?
Yeah, it's a great question. And one of the things that's going to be interesting about that too, because this is the first time that they're following a division around like that, is how invested are they in this camera crew? Like, is one crew going to be around the same team for 6 weeks?
Yeah,
are they flying from Cincinnati to Baltimore to Cleveland to Pittsburgh and kind of bouncing around?
I think they've each got
they're just entrenched.
Each got their crew.
That's going to be really interesting because, like, training camp, the preseason is one thing. It's been interesting to me. Quite frankly, like, I don't really like the rules that are in place. I don't like that because you've made the playoffs in the last 2 years, you have the opportunity to turn it down. I think you should just be – I think there should be – when it comes to training camp in the preseason, less restriction in terms of Hard Knocks and access and all that. When you start to get into the season, and this one I think is debuting December the 3rd, so you're deep in at that point, down to crunch time in the regular season. If coaches don't like it in the preseason, my guess is going to be like coaches are going to hate this part of it. Now, I say that, and Zach Taylor's coming out with a statement of, I understand why it's an attractive pick. Honor to be a part of the division that people think so highly of for an exciting team, and you know the typical coach statement that comes with this.
Can't
this
say
kind
anything
of stuff.
Else.
Can't say anything else. But I wonder deep down if coaches hate the idea of this late in the season.
Yeah, I think you have no choice but to embrace it and turn it into a positive for you guys and say, hey, people are going to see a little bit about the way we operate, and we have to embrace it. Like, you have to spin it positive. But I think most coaches hate it. I mean, I think as Sean McVay and certain guys can turn it into something. And spinning off of that, you know, there was this, Roku?
Yeah.
Had this, I haven't seen the whole thing. I read a very good summary of it on PFT. I wrote about both of these things yesterday at paulkuharsky.com. NFL draft, the pick is in. So these clips that you've seen, particularly of the Rams, they actually were with the Cowboys, the Colts, the Jaguars, and the Panthers. But the Rams did, their own thing.
Yeah.
They have these clips where they're willing to really show. The Rams are really willing to show. So it shows the Rams attempting to trade up to 10 with the Jets, checking in with the Vikings at 11, talking again with the Jets when they traded down to 11 with the Vikings, and continuing to try to trade up from 19 until Brock Bowers is chosen at 13th. Then they chase Byron Murphy
yep.
until he's selected 16th by Seattle. Only then did they take Jared Verse at 19. That's fascinating stuff, right?
It is.
The Titans would never be part of something like that. A lot of teams wouldn't. But here's the thing that sucks there. That doesn't really make the Rams look bad. Like, you know, might make Verse feel a little weird that they wanted these other guys. But they could say, well, look, we were trying to get those guys. But we stayed at 19. And we liked you at 19. The people it could make look bad are the Raiders.
Yeah.
And the Vikings and all of these teams that took those guys instead of the deal, who did nothing here. They stayed quiet and they didn't talk about their board and their offers. So the Rams are exposing these other teams and what they didn't do. And so later on, if Bowers somehow busts or if Murphy somehow busts, their fans should say they should have damn done the trade with the Rams. Yeah. But nobody would know about that stuff if the Rams didn't talk about it.
See,
so you're somewhat intruding on some of your colleagues' privacy.
I love that stuff.
I do too. But I could see how I'd be pissed if I was the Jets.
One of my least favorite parts about the draft process, and this is not Titan specific, but they've done it in the past, and every team has. Whoever you end up with in the first round,
this is our
guy the whole time.
Yeah, and this exposes that.
This exposes that. Usually that's not the case.
Okay, so as of now, for Hard Knocks next year, and by the way, only 15 teams have done Hard Knocks.
Yeah.
Which has been on since 2001,
yeah.
I think. As of now, these teams are eligible for next year. Titans, Steelers, Colts, who I would think are unlikely because they did the in-season one just a couple of years ago. Jaguars, Patriots, Broncos, Vikings, Panthers, Saints, Giants, Eagles, Commanders, Cardinals, and Seahawks. Now, I would think New Orleans, New York, and Philadelphia could get new coach exemptions.
Yep.
Or Philadelphia could turn things around and be a playoff team. And that the Titans, Seahawks, and Vikings are not preposterous playoff possibilities.
Right.
But I think there you're looking for, like, the Titans could wind up attractive. They could have good storylines, not be a playoff team. If Levis is any good and gets some attention, if Ridley turns into a star, they could be somewhat attractive. Now they really hate the small market stuff.
Yep.
But you know, it'll be interesting to see. Or you go back to somebody, you know, you gotta have a willingness. You know, wouldn't it be something if Jerod Mayo said
be awesome.
Hey, let's do it.
Yeah,
they don't have enough star power right now though. I think they'd rake
Drake
low
May
on
turns
the list.
Into it. Yeah, yeah.
Except that you could go look at the trophies a lot.
Yeah.
There. Run a lot of Belichick and Brady film. I mean, I think the Eagles would be
a great one.
Yeah. Giants, you always have that. New York, you know, that would get a lot of eyeballs just for that. But, I wrote in here, I understand the Titans never being interested. And the Titans have been exempt a lot.
Yeah.
14, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 24.
It's a lot of exemptions.
So for people saying, you know, who want to see them on this, I doubt they've ever volunteered and been turned down. but they've had a lot of room there not to be asked.
I got a texture that says, "Are you ready from some clip from Browns practice showing Vrabel saying something and Titans fans freaking out about it, thinking he's talking bad about the Titans?" Could see a Vrabel appearance this year.
Probably yeah. not.
Consulting yeah. up there in Cleveland.
He's been spotted a lot during, not a lot, but a few times during even their OTAs.
Yeah, on the field.
So, yeah, but also away from them. Yeah. So I don't know that he's with them all the time. Consulting
camera.
Is a good gig.
It is.
A lot of consultants get to spend a lot of time at home yeah. or in Utah, which is where he also spends a lot of time.
615-737-1025. Our phone number. Coming up next, it's time for The Choice Is Yours. Two sports questions, two non-sports questions. I'm in the chair this week. We'll do that next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. All that.
All that. We all have choices to make. All that. All that. Like right now. It's The Choice Is Yours, built by Jared Companies. You have a choice, so when you have a need for site and utility work, fire protection, concrete and asphalt services, the choice is simple. It's Jared Companies. For more, visit JaredCompaniesInc.com. The choice is yours, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
It is that time of the week, time for The Choice Is Yours, brought to you by Jared Companies Fire and Commercial Plumbing HVAC Division. Give them a call, 615-515-1290, 615-515-1290, or visit JarrettCompaniesInc.com. Two sports questions, two non-sports questions. As always, we encourage your participation on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. PK, Nick Kieser, should I begin with sports or non-sports?
Ladies' choice. No, your choice. Okay. That's a dumb joke. Your choice.
I'll go non-sports. All right. Either a class, hobby, skill, etc., that you wish you would have pursued more at a younger age. And I can give you guys some time to think about this.
No, I got an immediate answer.
You got immediate?
Same here.
Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead, PK.
I wish I had stuck with or taken up music. I wish I could play the piano or the guitar. I did take piano lessons for a time after clarinet, which was dumb as a youth. I still kind of dream of a slower time in life. Like, if I did it now, my wife would kill me for how little I do if I was sitting in front of an app with an acoustic guitar. She'd be like, "You're doing that instead of, you know, taking up something around the house that would help."
Yeah.
But I would love to be able to you know, play even a little bit of guitar.
That's a good one. Keezer?
Yeah, when I was in middle school, my buddies tried to prompt me to play baseball, and I never did it for some reason.
You never played ball? Never played ball?
No, and I really enjoy it. I think I should have done that more often. I played hockey, basketball, and frequently played football with my friends, never played organized football. That would be something else I would put in the same category. But baseball, I think, would have been more suiting for me when I was not playing hockey.
Yeah.
So in the springtime, that may have been something I wanted to do. So my grandfather and my great-grandfather loved the Braves, learned a lot about them, loved that team growing up. So I never got into it. Hockey was the love that I always stuck with and didn't do anything else. But I wish I had done that more often.
So an easy one for me is golf, but there's one that I actually is my actual answer.
Golf's a good one.
Yeah.
But I still feel like I'll get there.
Yeah, me too. Like, you know, I've played more in the last 2 years than I've played my entire life, and I'm addicted to it now. Mine is building, and I mean building, like, structures. So we moved into our house 2 years ago, and my neighbor has been building this massive shed slash garage, whatever you want to call it, ever since then. He's done it completely by himself.
Is it like a barn dominium?
It's the size of a barn dominium, but it's not. Like, it's just an outdoor facility that he wants out there. And he has built it from scratch by himself. And I've watched him do it. I've talked with him about it. And I remember thinking to myself, I wouldn't even know where to start. Like, would have no clue where to start. And, you know, I'm not the most handy person. I'm not Rex Road. I can do some things, but the ability to look at something, imagine something, and then just build it would be awesome. And I do not possess that skill, so that would be my answer.
I also have that. I'm not handy in the least. I grew up in a rectory, so you had a plumbing problem, you called the parish plumber.
That's right.
Et cetera, et cetera. And my oldest brother went on to teach himself everything.
Yeah.
He comes to my house and fixes stuff. Something breaks in my house, I call the – but no longer is it the parish plumber coming to do it for free.
Right.
It's an expensive plumber. But I'm embarrassed by it, but I can't figure stuff out at all.
It's easier just to call. Yeah.
Yeah.
No doubt. All right, moving to sports. Willie Mays passing away at the age of 93. We're going to get into greatest living baseball player later, but this one's pretty simple. Your favorite baseball player to watch of all time. It could be anybody. Your favorite baseball player to watch of all time.
Nick?
Robbie, if you have one, go ahead. I have a couple, but I'm trying to narrow it down.
I've got a few. PK's not going to like this answer. My favorite player to watch of all time is Manny Ramirez, just because of how goofy he was. But he was also really, really good. A lot of antics out there. He could smash the baseball. Manny Ramirez, and then slightly behind that, in terms of just pure skill, was Ken Griffey Jr. But that's my
look, I fell in love with baseball we moved to New Jersey in 1976, and I started going to bed listening to the Yankees on the radio. And then the freak of timing, the 77-78 Yankees were a tremendous team that won back-to-back World Series. And my guy was Greg Nettles, and I could watch Greg Nettles play all day. It is a tremendous third baseman that had the fortunate thing of playing, you know, at the tail end of Brooks Robinson, who won all the gold gloves. Nettles only won two. But he single-handedly won a game in the 78 World Series behind Guidry, where the Dodgers were just crushing balls to third base that should have gone into the corner. And he hit a lot of home runs. I've always said he's not a Hall of Famer. But if you look at his numbers, he really is a borderline Hall of Famer.
And as we discussed yesterday, he could hit the ball.
Yes.
Contrary to popular opinion.
A lot of home runs. So he's my number one guy in sports, period. Period.
Greg Nettles.
And Frank Wycheck, rest his soul.
Yep.
And there was an article about him in the Philadelphia Inquirer last week that's worth checking out. At one point, when I was working with him, just randomly brought me an autographed Nettles picture of him in his stance in the batter's box. He's like, hey, I was surfing around on eBay and I saw this and thought you'd like it. So it's hanging in my workout.
That's great.
My favorite going to games growing up here in Nashville, there's only sounds. Prince Fielder was who I watched
He's fun to watch.
He was electric when I would say while he was here.
Big old guy. He smashed that
big
ball,
old
though.
Guy. First baseman. Insane. Sad to see his career end the way that it did.
How did it end? He really just sputtered out.
Yeah.
Hit a wall.
He had a neck issue.
Yeah.
And he had a really, really sad press conference. It's one of the ones that sticks with me now. Man, he was sitting there crying, having to explain what was going on medically with himself. It was sad.
His dad was with the Rangers. His dad was something to behold as well.
Yes, he was. Sure. Yeah. So play with the Rangers to end his career. Yeah.
All right, back to non-sports. The movie or movie franchise, it can be either one, that you don't like that everyone else seems to love. Movie franchise that you don't like that everyone else seems to love.
I mean, I might like Harry Potter, but I've never given it a chance. Never read it, never watched it. My son is not into like wizardry or fantasy or any of that stuff. And so I know nothing about it. And when people talk Hogwarts and stuff, I just recede into the wall.
I recede with the Lord of the Rings.
Okay.
I could care less about stuff like that, honestly.
Okay.
And Harry Potter is kind of one of them, except I've seen the movies. I didn't read the books, PK. I didn't really care too much for Harry Potter. Lord of the Rings, no thanks. There's just too many big fans that care too much about it, I feel like.
I didn't watch the Lord of the Rings movies, but as a kid, I read and very much enjoyed the books.
Mine is almost anti-American. The Indiana Jones movies.
Really?
They're okay, but if they're on, I might watch it for a second. And look, the first three are better than the most recent crap they've tried to come out with, for sure. But even the first three, I watch it, and I'm just like, yeah, this is okay. It's not really all
I
that great.
I can see you having an objection. But the Raiders of the Lost Ark is a great movie.
Oh, classic.
Okay. I mean,
a great movie.
Even and the one with
Sean Connery is pretty damn
good. Yeah.
But I think you should go back. It's probably been a long time.
It's been a while.
When your daughter comes of age and you watch Raiders of the Lost Ark, if this idea still exists,
yeah,
it might not. When your daughter becomes old enough to watch Raiders of the Lost Ark, I don't know if fathers and daughters or families will sit down and watch something that's an hour and a half long. I really don't.
Yeah, I don't know. It's crazy.
If we pitched a movie night at my house, it would be a struggle right now. Because it's not 3 minutes long.
Exactly. The attention spans are gone in today's world. All right, back to sports real quickly. You have to bet on one team as the team that will dethrone Kansas City in the AFC. You're putting your money on it. Which team is it? One team that can dethrone Kansas City. You're putting your money on it. Which team you taking?
I'm in love with the Bengals.
Okay.
I'm going to say the Bengals. But I think there are three. I could see Baltimore doing it. Yep. I could see Houston doing it. But if I'm putting money on it, I'm going with the Bengals.
I'm going Houston. Houston's my answer. And maybe I'm too heavily bought into Stroud after 1 year. But I just look at them on paper. There's not a whole lot of weaknesses there. I mean, I love their coaching staff. I think the underrated part that everybody's talking about Stroud and Diggs and Slowick and all that. Their defense with Danielle Hunter coming in and Danico Autry coming in with Will Anderson already there, I think they're going to be really
good. There's enthusiasm and hope in both of our voices, and I wonder if America shares it. I'm chiefed out.
Yeah. Oh, man, I am
think
too.
We're all chiefed out.
Those are two great picks. I would be different. I'll say the Baltimore Ravens.
Okay.
I've got a lot of faith, I think, just in Lamar Jackson, but we'll see how that shakes out. Apparently, he's lost a lot of weight. So
I've seen that.
I don't know how that's going to impact him this season.
But I guess that makes him faster, but
I guess.
Wonder what happens when he gets hit.
More susceptible to
injury. Yeah, I don't know. But that'd be a very intriguing one for me, especially adding Derrick Henry. But then also, what do you do with your wide receivers? They had some issues last year at times. So
see if Zay Flowers hold on the ball. We'll
if it's the Ravens, it means it comes with a lot of pain for Nashville. Because Derrick Henry is going to play a big role in it if it happens.
Yep.
And that's not going to go over well here. If that happens, I pray for the sake of Nashville fans that Tajay Spears and Tony Pollard are also
really good. Yep.
Doing very well.
No doubt about it. Coming up next, we'll get PK's biggest takeaways from the Titans offseason program. Take your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Robbie Stanley, Paul Kuharski, Nick Kieser here with you on this Wednesday morning. Tune in to 94.9 The Fan today as the Nashville Sounds take on the Durham Bulls. Pregame at 6:20, first pitch at 6:35. Coverage available as well on the 94.9 The Fan app and at 94.9thefan.com. Sounds baseball presented by Twin Peaks, Family Leisure, Five Points Roofing, Caudill Vet Clinic, and Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. PK, we are just about a month away, a little bit over a month, from training camp beginning for the Tennessee Titans. You were out there for OTAs. You were out there for minicamp. As you watch Brian Callahan stepping into year one of his tenure, what were your biggest takeaways from the offseason? What you can take away from OTAs, minicamp, before the pads come on and the action gets real coming up later this fall?
Well, you know, I think – you could go out there at the beginning with a dream that Levis, having studied the playbook, which is tailored to his strengths, would make a big discernible leap in performance. He did not. You know, he looked like a guy who picked up where he left off, had some good moments, had some bad moments, and, you know, they didn't focus on deep balls. They talk about being an explosive offense. We didn't see hints of that, or too many hints of that. You know, saw one deep ball, I'm remembering, was a result of a blown coverage. There was a lot more short stuff. So he's very much a work in progress, and the offense is very much a work in progress, which is the natural state of things. But I still think there's an inclination to think, all they've got this playbook in and the coach in, and you're going to see a dramatic step forward or dramatic difference. And there was not. I think Ridley looks as advertised with his suddenness, his change of direction. So that was exciting. I think Bill Callahan, watching him work with guys, is, you know, as advertised. A lot of these things, unsurprising, they're kind of confirming what you expected.
Yep.
You know, I think the depth issue, nobody in those spots, you know, you didn't come out of OTAs and minicamp thinking, well, you know, their safety depth isn't an issue like we thought. I don't think there's really room in OTAs for a guy to make you feel like that, with them not being in pads. The other big thing is, you know, as we continue to get to know Callahan, and I was frustrated with player access, and the whole press corps was. They just are wimps and don't talk about it. he's just really candid, helpful, willing to discuss things, go a layer further. He's nowhere near as guarded as Vrabel. He's nowhere near as edgy as Vrabel. There were questions that you just wouldn't ask of Vrabel, you know, because you come to understand what will and will not get a response.
Yep.
And what chips are worth playing with the head coach. Now, we haven't seen Callahan in season yet after a bad loss and all of those things, but I think fans are going to know a lot more and understand a lot more about the why with Callahan than they did with Vrabel, who was brusque and, you know, often seemed insulted by the idea that you would question stuff.
One of the biggest things that I'm looking forward to, that I don't think you can really find a ton out about in OTAs and minicamp before the pads come on, is the Latham part of this. Because obviously so much of what they're going to do and be this year is going to come down to him too, right? Like, we talk about Levis all the time, and obviously he's the most important factor in all this. But Latham on the left side, moving from right to left, and just his performance immediately as a rookie. Like, there's significant pressure on him to be good from the jump this year, because they need him to be at left tackle. And how quickly can he handle that? Based on what you've said, based on people that have been out there at camp, in terms of, you know, passing the eye test, Old Gun Bertha and the dummies out there, and the attitude, everything that you wanted to hear about J.C. Latham to this point in the offseason, it feels like you've heard.
Yes. And if he becomes really good, you know, there's going to be that legend. It's going to be in a lot of features about him, this Carthon having to go out and get him out of the rain when he was working on stuff. I wasn't there for the last availability when the assistant coaches talked, but I've gone through clips of what they said, and Bill Callahan talked about Latham being built different than most first rounders I've been around. You yearn for players like that in your room, and he's a perfectionist. Now, I don't think Bill Callahan is the kind of guy that throws around compliments loosely. Right, I think you've really got to earn the guy's respect. So I think that's a really big thing. Also, Latham is a fun, loose guy to be around. And that's great for us in the media, but
sure.
That doesn't matter, right, to people. I think in that offensive line group, where when things were going bad last year, it was pretty tense, you know. Lawan was a laugher and a jokester, and besides being a really good player when he was healthy, but he could help change the mood of that group. Last year, with him gone and with Ben Jones gone, who was the kind of mood monitor of that group? I Brunskill had some leadership qualities there, but you've also got to be a pretty good player to be able to do that. Skaronski's the best player on the line. He had the appendicitis. It slowed him down. He had lost the weight. He didn't have the gravitas or the authority or the experience or the pelt. There was nobody on that line playing as poorly as it was that could do anything like that. And it became a more and more tense group as things got worse and worse.
Yep.
I think it'll be a better group, and I think Latham adds some needed levity to the group. So I think that's an important development, to see that they've got somebody like that. And I think that's a factor somewhere on his draft resume, that he's got that kind of personality. And you need that somewhere in your room, and I think they needed it somewhere on their line.
Well, and clearly, just him individually at left tackle is so important just based on the nature of that position. But if he hits, what does that do for Skaronski, having Latham to his left, Cushenberry to his right? Think about how different that picture is for him based on what was to his left and to his right last year. If Latham hits and is the player they think he can be.
Yeah.
It's a pretty big difference.
It does a great deal. I mean, we were talking about Skaronski last year and what he was surrounded by and how that had a bearing on him. And I think he talked about being much more comfortable at guard. And in these Callahan clips, he talked about, you know, him coming out and having guard and tackle possibilities, but that, like Sheriff and Zach Martin, who were college tackles that he had who transitioned to guard, that Skaronski has now kind of made it through that process, which is not a small thing. So, look, that left side's got to be solid and accounted for, and their worries need to be on the other side. And you guys may have talked about this. How about the PFF center rankings that put Aaron Brewer three spots ahead of Lloyd Cushenberry? I mean,
it's wild.
That's why, you know, and I refer to PFF occasionally, but every time I do, I try to say, you know, just as a point of reference and not the end all and be all. But to suggest that Miami did better getting Aaron Brewer, who they, you know, raved about as a run blocker, than the Titans did by getting Lloyd Cushenberry.
It's absurd.
Yeah. Just insane. So I couldn't get over that when I saw that.
We get texts about that every day now. Just that played right into the hands of Titans fans. You just scream about.
Can't win.
Disrespect. Nobody cares.
Well,
all that
here's
stuff.
Another one of that. Last night, the NFL puts out a thing like best cornerback ? And then pronounces that it's Legarius Sneed, and shows clips of Legarius Sneed being very physical. And Titans fans comments after it are, he's not getting away with any of this now that he's a Titan.
Yeah. He's getting flagged left and right, baby. Yeah.
And he was flagged a lot with the Chiefs. And that's a story that I tried during OTAs to get to, but I'll work more on it. And it ties back to Jim Washburn when he coached the defensive line. Like, there were a certain amount of offside flags that they were willing to accept.
Yep.
In exchange for getting off the ball really fast, right? Are there a certain number of flags the Titans are willing to take in exchange for being super aggressive?
That's a great question.
In the secondary?
Yeah.
Like, will you say, listen, we don't want crucial flags, but if you get a flag on 1st and 10 for really roughing up a receiver early, that sets a tone. Yeah,
we'll live with it.
We'll maybe take that.
Yeah, that's a great question. 615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll continue the discussion on the Titans coming up next. What about the job that Amy Adams Strunk has done as controlling owner of the Titans? Where is this franchise headed with the new stadium right around the corner? We'll get into all that. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.